What's up, guys? Welcome back to the Silk and Purple Podcast. It is just me today, your host, Megan Fuquay. Happy New Year, everybody. We are done with the holiday shuffle and everything that comes along with that. And so if you're like me and you appreciate your regularly scheduled programming, you are probably breathing a sigh of relief now that everything is kind of going back to your normal schedule. I enjoy the holidays. I thrive with a schedule. So we are back in the swing of things, and I have been trying to figure out what my word for the year was going to be, because I know a lot of people don't do resolutions anymore. It's kind of more common to do a word for the year. And so some of the words I was thinking about were like, maybe like coachable, because I was like, okay, I want to be able to be coached, you know, not that I'm not coachable, but like maybe I'll focus this year on coachable. Oh, maybe I'll do teachable. I kind of want to do teachable where I can be taught and not worry about, you know, how I look, or I can just really accept feedback and really just be taught. And then I kind of thought, you know, as I get to certain seasons and I start to get burnt out, I was like, oh, I know, I want my word to be margin. I want to have margin in my life. But just based on everything that I've been through in the past year, but really beyond that, maybe the past 2 years, and anywhere from the last 5 years till the last year most intensely, I came across this word really just in my spirit that was the word seen. And I was like, oh snap, I need to have this word seen, because I have a fear of being seen. And the only reason that I know that is because of my story, and kind of, I know I've already shared like my testimony on here before, in a previous episode, but like, I don't think that I've really gotten necessarily super vulnerable on here just about my personal struggles and the things that I know impact my ability to show up authentically. And so I want to share that today in this episode, and I want to speak a little while to myself and to anybody that's listening on my word for the year, and that is seen. So this word is only going to make sense if I explain it like this. I realized through different types of therapies over the last year or so, talking to our Christian counselor, one of those, and going through EMDR with a licensed therapist in person, figuring out that I have what is called a negative cognition, you know, about myself being, I'm not good enough. When you go through like the intake process or whatever with a licensed therapist, if you're going to do EMDR, more than likely they will do a bunch of different assessments with you just to kind of get a really good feel of who you are and how you think about the world, how you take in information. And so I take in information based on the negative belief that I'm not good enough no matter what. And so, that just goes all the way back to what I like to call the first time that you buy the lie, you know. And this is the part that I think is what fuels generational cycles. Not to say that there's some curse looming over somebody that no matter what, you know, some horrible thing is going to happen to you, or no matter what, you're going to be this certain way in your life. But I do think that, you know, or I believe that the Bible says that God formed us, you know, He knit us together in our mother's womb. He knew who we were going to be. He created us. He called us for a certain purpose. He created us with a certain calling in mind. And so that means that things that come against us are also tailored to be a good counterattack on, or a good attack on the calling that God has placed on our life and the giftings that God's bestowing us with and the things that He wants us to do. So a lot of times those lies that the devil presents us with can actually be familial in nature. And I'll speak more to that in a moment. So I guess the time in my life where I really rounded a corner with kind of zeroing in on what I needed to do moving forward and what I had to do without a doubt was when I had a conversation with our Christian counselor. And he said, you know, I'd venture to say that you've never really had true, deep emotional healing in your entire life. And I was just so crushed because that's the only thing that I wanted, you know, that I truly, truly wanted, but I felt like I didn't have the ability to have it. And I think that's because I didn't know what I was fighting against. I was not looking at things through the lens of where is this belief tied back to? Like, how did you just turn up thinking that you weren't good enough? You know, what has happened? And so through the course of time, you know, I'm able to go back to several different times in my life where that belief was present and that belief was, you know, reinforced in my life through some of my own actions and things like that. And something one day, you know, it was the same day that my counselor said, you know, those words to me. And I was just like, I was praying and asking God, like, you know, I need help with this. Like, I'm asking you for this. I so desperately want this. And I could hear him saying in my spirit, ask me again. And I was like getting frustrated. I was like, okay, I'm asking you. Here I am. I'm asking you again. God, can you please heal this thing in me? Show me where the healing is. Show me what you want me to do. Show me what I need to know. Tell me what, just tell me something. Do something. Just heal me. Let me have emotional healing. And as I'm like, if I could demonstrate it where you could see it, I would just imagine that I'm like scratching and clawing at the ground. And I can hear God say again, ask me again. And it's like I put my head down and I was digging in the ground and just digging. And I was saying, I'm asking you, God, I'm asking you. I'm digging, 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 digging. And I would hear him say, ask me again. And this just kept going on. The whole day I was just like mulling over in my mind, how can I get emotional healing? Like, I've been in Christian counseling for, you know, with this person for 2 years, but I have been seeing a counselor probably 4 years ago at this point, started for PTSD, turned into some other things. So I've been counseling adjacent and pursuing healing for like 4 years, you know, kind of just aware that I want to be a better version of myself, and then more intensely for the past year. And still here I am sitting being told that I've never truly had emotional healing in my entire life. And God's going to ask me again, which makes me feel like I'm not asking good enough. And I'm like trying to be good enough. I'm trying to ask good enough just so that I can get this healing. And I'm scratching harder and I'm digging harder. I'm digging harder. And God just keeps on, ask me again, ask me again. And it's finally like my posture changed in my spirit where I finally just sat back. If you could just imagine it this way, sit back, fold my hands in my lap, or turn my hands over with my palms open and say, I'm asking you again, God. Asking to the point where I stop digging, you know. And I'm not saying not to negate, you know, knock on the door and, you know, try to see what God's going to do for you. But there are some times where God calls us to rest from all our striving. And that was me in this moment, is finally I heard what God was saying to me of, ask me again, not dig harder, do better, be more, be perfect. He wasn't asking me any of those things. He was saying, ask me. And so it's like my spirit finally heard him in that moment. And about that time, I had a podcast had come on by, she was a guest on this podcast. Her name is Mandy Holloway. And she was talking about, a prison ministry that she had. And they were going to a service, and she was talking about where, she had asked these ladies to write, you know, whatever these word curses were that had been spoken over them. She wanted them to write them on a piece of paper. You know, whatever it was, I'm stupid, I'm ugly, I'll never be anything, I'm worthless, you know, down to I'm not good enough or whatever. And she said that in this service that they were ripping the paper up, and they were just like, women were having emotional freedom because they were like rejecting that lie that was on their life. And in that moment, this literally came minutes after I had finally sat back in my spirit with my hands open and was like asking God again. He gives me this illustration, and then knowing that my negative cognition was, I'm not good enough, I had to then go and address that with myself and say, you know, going back to the very first time that I can remember feeling that way about myself, and looking at that moment and writing that on my paper in that moment, and writing that I'm not good enough on that, you know, proverbial paper, and ripping it up and saying, this was never true. Like, that's why I say that it's generational. Is Satan comes to you with this specific lie. He doesn't believe it. God doesn't believe it. But he's trying to get you to believe it. Because if you believe that, and I call that my airbrush t-shirt, okay? You just have to, if you've never been to the beach, and you have never gotten one, or at least seen one in the store where you can go in the back and get a shirt with your name airbrushed on it and like a picture of a dolphin or something. You know, everybody's got the Gulf Shores or the Destin airbrush t-shirt, okay? Well, my airbrush t-shirt, in my mind, in my spirit, that I got when I was little about myself was, I'm not good enough. And just imagine in that very first moment where I bought the lie, okay? Satan held me out my airbrush t-shirt, and he was like, would you like this? And I was like, I guess. I put it on so that then at every point in my life where things were happening, I had to believe the lie again, and it was reinforced. So, you know, whatever hard thing that happened, or whatever outcome that didn't go as I had planned happened, or any life event happened, I let it reinforce the belief I'm not good enough. Or when faced with a choice, you know, a moral choice, you know, that is hard to do the right thing. Well, if I'm already not good enough, why would I make the good choice if when I make the good choice, I don't feel good enough anyway? So that's kind of the background for this whole scene thing, okay? So knowing that when I was little, I kind of leaned more toward the perfectionism side of things, knowing what I know now and going through what I have gone through, I can see that this is why I have so much trouble with vulnerability, with deep friendships. Not because I don't love people and people don't love me. It's because I'm afraid to be seen. And I had figured out that even at my deepest core of myself, I never let people get into that true layer. I don't even think I let myself get into that true layer of my imperfect self, because it was a safety issue. It was a nervous system issue, because if I let you get in that close, then you can see that I'm not good enough. And that's a wound that I have. And I cannot let you see that I'm not good enough. Well, where does that show up for me today? Or where did it show up for me really, really intensely, you know, before I'd gone through this next level of healing that God took me down? It looks like spiraling when you make a mistake and other people know about it or see it or whatever, like whether that be, you know, if you're in music ministry, messing up on the platform, I would spiral, like lay in my bed at night and think about that and think, or if you make a mistake at work or, any kind of misstep or mistake where people are aware of it, I would spiral because, oh my gosh, I'm not safe. They just saw that I'm not good enough. And I can remember I turned a huge corner the day that, this was my EMDR licensed therapist. She was talking to me about something and she said, do you do well with written instruction or verbal instruction? And this was my exact response. I feel safest when it's written instruction. And she said, go back to what you just said. What did you say? I said, I feel safest. She said, why? I said, because then nobody can come back and say I didn't do it right. And she was like, why is this unsafe if you don't do it right? Why is it, what is this safety issue? And so I really have to challenge myself, challenge my experience in my nervous system when I have that response. I have to ask myself, and this was the next question she asked me about, because we were talking about making mistakes when instructions are not clear. This is the example that I used with her. I was like, it's so frustrating to me whenever I call my husband and say, hey, I'm coming through town. Do you want something to eat for supper? And he says, yeah. And I'm like, okay, well, what specifically do you want? He's like, it's whatever, wherever you want to go. I'm like, no. You need to tell me where you want something from and what you want specifically there. He's like, Popeyes is fine. I'm like, Jeremy Fuquay, what do you want from Popeyes? Down to the number. Do you want it mild or spicy? What side do you want? What drink do you want? How many napkins do you want? I need to know the specifics. I was telling her that frustrates me, and that, you know, if I were to just guess and get chicken strips and I got home, his words would be, man, I wish you would have gotten me a 2-piece dark. And I would just get so mad. I would have a nervous system reaction, because what do you mean? You didn't give me instructions, but you want to have a critical reaction to it. And she was like, maybe he's just verbalizing that he wished he would have told you that he wanted a 2-piece mix or 2-piece dark mix or whatever. And I was like, okay, that's weird. And she said, what is a way that you can keep that out front where you don't take that in as some kind of reflection about yourself? And she said, what does it say about you if you get him chicken strips and you get home and he wishes he would have had a 2-piece dark? I said, well, it says that I did the best that I could with the information I have. She said, yeah, that's exactly right. It says that you made a reasonable decision with the information that you had at that current time. That's what that says. And it really has changed me from spiraling all the time, because when I make a mistake, what does it say about me? What does it say about me if somebody says, hey, can you give me directions to the Steak and Shake in Conway? And I go, boop, boop, yep, here we go, Googling Steak and Shake in Conway. And I go to the wrong Steak and Shake in Conway. And they meant the other Steak and Shake in Conway. And I navigated to the other, the one that they weren't thinking of. And they're like, why did you choose to go here? I don't have to take that in as a reflection of if I'm good enough or not. I can go, oh, I didn't know you meant that one. I'm sorry. I thought you meant this one on this highway. I don't have to take that in as a reflection of who I am. And I don't want to skip this part too, because I think this is just so crazy, and it just made me I don't know, it put me on a whole nother level. So backtrack to the rest of the story. I was talking about Mandy Holloway, and then talking about the writing your negative feelings about yourself or your word curses people have spoken over you on paper. Okay, ripping it up, whatever. In that same moment, in that same day, you know, God spoke to me and was like, you know, have you ever reached out to your mom to ask her about her story? And, you know, you grow up with your mom and your dad, you know, sometimes, some cases you don't, some cases you do. You grow up with them and you think that you know their story, but you don't know their story prior to you coming on the scene most of the time, unless you ask specifically. And so, you know, I made some time and reached out to my mom, and she told me her story, and I won't share that here, but one of the pieces that she told was a challenging time in her, you know, young teen years, and she said she was struggling, you know, and it just seemed like over and over she had this overwhelming, you know, feeling about herself. And I was like, you know, well, what was that? And she said, I just felt like I wasn't good enough. I just felt like something in my mind was saying, you're not good enough. And like my jaw hit the floor, because the devil is a good devil. He really does come to steal, kill, and destroy. And he's going to come to you. He's going to come to your kids. He is going to try to sell them this lie, and he's going to see if they're going to buy it. And not only do we have to stand up for ourselves, we have to stand up for our children. We have to stand up for our brothers and sisters in Christ. I mean, we really have to do these things. So anyway, back to the word of the year, seen. What does it mean to be truly seen? For myself, that means looking myself in the face when I have a misstep or a mistake or a bad judgment call or, you know, just an oopsie. I cannot spiral about it, because there's not this big sign hanging over my head that says you're not good enough. The opposite is not true. It's not that, oh, I am good enough. That would also be a lie. I'm not good enough. I'm not perfect, but I am loved. And I am chosen by God. I'm called by God. I am redeemable. I plead his blood over my life. I apply the blood of his sinless sacrifice to my life. So I have worth. It doesn't mean that I'm quote unquote good enough. It just means that I do have worth in God's eyes because of his blood that he applies to my life. I have so much worth. Also, when I did not have that applied to my life, I was worth something in God's eyes because he loved me. And that is the truth about that. And I have to look at myself through that lens. And we all have to look at ourselves through that lens. No matter what our negative cognition is about ourselves, it could be that your negative cognition is, I'm stupid. You know, you have to go and figure out, when was the first time you bought that lie? And this is what I thought about. You know, if you're a person that you feel so broken, and you look at yourself like you're broken and you need to be fixed, the pieces need to be put back together and you need to be fixed, I want you to look at yourself in a different way. And I want you to look at imagine yourself standing in front of you, but imagine that you have a lot of little holes. Maybe just like, it doesn't have to be anything like, you know, gross, like blood or anything like that. But just think of yourself like a piece of cheese, a piece of Swiss cheese. Just if you feel broken, think of yourself like a person that has a lot of holes and you can just see right through them. And imagine that going back to those moments when you bought the lie, you go back and you rip up that piece of paper that's on that, and you go to that version of yourself, whether it's a little child, whether it's a teenager, whether it's a young adult, whether it's an older adult, you go back to each and every one of those times in the Holy Ghost, hand in hand with God, hand in hand with your spiritual covering, hand in hand with the armor of God on your mind all the way down to your toes. I mean, you are covered in the armor of God. Go back to all of those times, rebuke that lie, speak truth over that version of yourself, and grab that piece of yourself back and put it in that hole. And go back to the next time, because you are not a broken thing that needs to be fixed and glued and taped and stapled and nailed. You are a person that can be whole. It's going to be a process. I wish it was so easy as God's going to zap you and fix you, but that is not how God sees you. God saw you at every single point in your life when you bought that lie in exchange for a little piece of you. That lie is so expensive because we sold the devil a part of who God said we were. And it just stayed lost forever, and you lose it. And then through other times in life, maybe you say, psh, what good does it do? I'm not good enough anyway. Or what good does it do? I'm stupid. Or what good does it do? I'm worthless. And it gets worse and worse and worse and worse until you choose to stand up to that lie. And spoiler alert, the devil does not win. Spoiler alert, truth always wins. What is done in the darkness will be brought to the light. You can bring those lies to the light and they have to flee. The Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee. You have to resist this lie. And that's where my version of the word seen comes from. Because this year, what I want to do is see myself. I want to look myself in the face when I make a mistake and say, what does that say about you? And remind my body when it feels that fight or flight, because I'm not a freeze or foam girl. I'm just not. I'm a fight or flight. If I can't punch it, I'm running away from it. But I'm really going to try really hard to punch it first. See myself. Look at myself the way that the little girl version of me needs to be seen. And that's what I'm doing this year.